Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone. What a beautiful Saturday afternoon, February 22nd, 2014. My name is Mary Neal. I'm director of the Human Rights for Prisoners March. Yes, we march across the internet and demand human rights for prisoners. Among the demands is that everybody should have a fair trial. Among the demands are that no prosecutorial misconduct should be allowed to be responsible for wrongful convictions and wrongful sentences for innocent people in the United States of America. According to Frederick Douglass, power concedes nothing without a demand. Power concedes nothing without a demand. And so we make a human rights demand today for Juan Rojas. That's J-U-A-N-R-O-J-A-S. He's a wrongfully convicted Native American who is right now in federal custody on false charges. Juan Rojas. We demand justice for Juan Rojas. I have some of Juan Rojas' supporters on the line right now after much ado at Blog Talk Radio trying to get on the line. And we finally made it, and we are welcoming you today. I want to give you the guest call-in number so you can call and about this issue of wrongful convictions. The telephone number here is 347-857-3293. Again, the telephone number here for you to call in and ask questions or make comments about Juan Rojas or any other wrongful conviction is 347-857-3293. My name is Mary Neal, and I welcome you to the Human Rights Demand Blog Talk Radio channel. Hello, everybody. I see that you're here. You're here to speak in on behalf of Juan Rojas. 5812, how are you today?
Fine.
Wonderful.
Hello?
Is this Miss? Hello. 5812 and 6904, I want to welcome you to Human Rights Demand, where we're making a demand for Mr. Juan Rojas, who is wrongly convicted and held in federal custody right now on false allegations. So I'm going to let you both speak about this matter. Do we have Janice Howe on the line? Janice Howe, are you with us? Do we have Miss Charlene on the line?
Yes, this is her.
Hey there, Miss Charlene. We're so glad you could join us. Hello. To speak about Juan Rojas' wrongful conviction, I understand that Juan Rojas was falsely accused of child molestation regarding his two stepdaughters. And we also understand from previous conversations with you and other Juan Rojas supporters that the woman who made these false allegations, number one, she was a fetal alcohol syndrome baby herself, and she has exemplified brain damage in that whenever she breaks up with a man, she usually alleges sex charges. Criminal sex charges against her former lover. She did this to the two girls' father. When she broke up with him, she said that he was molesting his daughters, and when the little girls got on the witness stand, they denied that and said their daddy had never acted inappropriately toward them, and his case was dismissed. Then when she broke up with Juan Rojas, she alleged that he raped her. And that case fell apart, and the charges were dismissed. Juan Roja made the mistake of getting back with this woman, and this time when she broke up with him, she said that he had sexually molested the same two little girls that she had falsely accused her first husband of molesting. And those charges are what he is in federal prison on right now. And we also understand from our previous conversations with you and Juan Roja supporters that the U.S. attorney, that is the U.S. federal prosecutor, to the funeral of this woman's mother when she died, and he approached the witness and he told the witness that if she withdrew her testimony or if her daughters withdrew their allegations against Juan Roja, he would see that her children were taken from her and that she never saw them again, and they would never see their little brother and sister again in life. And we know that this was no empty promise, because up to 35% of the Native American children have already been removed from their families and from their reservations. So this was a real threat. It did have power behind it, and the woman was so afraid that she did not go and withdraw her charges against Juan Roja. And so he remains in prison right now today. We understand that Juan Roja, because he was convicted of such a heinous act, that even the other inmates resent him, and that he was actually tossed into a cell with handcuffs on, and he was stabbed by another inmate 30 times in Florida. We know that when you're in jail and you're charged with sex molestation of children, that other inmates and the prison guards resent you and they still harm you. So Juan Roja is in federal prison on charges that are completely false, and he is being mutilated, brutalized, and treated very badly because of the nature of the allegations against him. We understand that Juan Roja, R-O-J-A-S, has been in federal custody for more than a decade, and that they even desecrated him by cutting off his long braid. We know that the long braid is sacred to Native American men, and that's why they brutalized him and took off his long braid, because of the nature of the allegations against him being sexual molestation of children. And we also understand that when he got to trial and it was time for sentencing, after his wrongful conviction, we understand that they even added greater offenses to him that would give him life sentence, and that is that they falsely said that Juan Roja tried to bribe the witness against him by sending his former lover and his children his truck to drive while he was in prison. Juan Roja still tried to take care of his family, even though he was behind bars, and he instructed his mother to see that this woman, who is the mother of his children, got use of his truck to drive while he was behind bars, and that you also took the children some clothes to wear. When did providing transportation and clothes for your children get to be a bribe? This is something that your son, Juan Roja, saw as his fatherly duty. He was not using the truck. So this woman was calling the jail nearly every day and leaving messages as to how she needed transportation for the children. She was calling him and asking him for the truck. But they, at sentencing, said he was trying to use his truck and clothes for his children as bribe for this woman. So this is absolutely ridiculous, and it's absurd, but this is how people are treated in the American injustice system. Now, I have brought them up on what's going on with Juan Roja as far as his wrongful conviction for molesting two little girls who were actually virgins when the doctor examined them. Yes, the doctor did examine them for trial, and they were both virgins with their hymens in place. However, we're aware that the U.S. court provided an expert witness who got up there and lied and said that hymens grow back together all the time. In other words, This lie was to make the jury presume that, yes, he raped them, but their hymens went back together. I defy this court or any court to prove that hymens grow back together. I don't think that is the case, and this is the testimony on which Ron Roja was wrongfully convicted. This is the testimony that went forward to the all-Caucasian jury. Yes, I said that Ron Roja was not judged by a jury of his peers because everyone in his reservation recognized that the woman he had been living with was mentally ill. They all recognized that the woman he had been living with was sick. They do not blame her for the lies that she told, but they certainly blame the U.S. justice system for accepting those lies as an excuse to put Juan Roja in jail for life, deny him his right to a fair trial. So I'm going to leave it to you to go ahead and speak on these issues and speak up for Juan Roja. Ms. Shalene, how are you today? This is his mother, everyone.
I'm okay.
When did you last see your son, Ms. Shalene?
July of 2010 or June of 2010, and I can't afford to go back since. And I'm trying to go back this year to see him sometimes, and I'm currently unemployed. So it's been a while.
But so your son is in the federal prison system, and he's not even warehoused in the state where you live, is he?
No, he's in Arizona, which is several states from South Dakota. And you can only visit him on a weekend. So you have to, when we do travel, we travel all the way through the night and make it there in time to stay with him for the weekend and just visit him and come back to South Dakota because of the financial situation.
Yes, yes. When prisoners are kept in states other than their own, it makes it very difficult for families to be able to financially arrange to visit them. And we're aware of this circumstance, and we certainly hate that this is the circumstance of wrongfully convicted Juan Roja.
And then I also haven't seen his children since 2010. I'm not able to see them because she does not want me to visit or see them. So I haven't seen them for several years.
Exactly. You're not even able to see your grandchildren because this same woman keeps them away from their grandmother and keeps them away from their family. Initially, the family was hopeful that this woman would retract her testimony. In fact, she told someone in the family that she planned to go to U.S. court and withdraw her testimony against Juan Roja. Is that correct?
As far as I know, yes. She did tell him that she was going to have everything would be okay. But she get it all straightened out before he even went to court because she visited him after jail well before the court. She would see him and write him letters and tell him all of this. And it never happened once it got into the federal court.
In the meantime, her mother died. Is that right?
Yes, in the process of it, and the girls recanted, and his court-appointed lawyer at the time went down there to talk to them and get the testimony, their statements that they were recanting. And so after he went down and came back, then the prosecutor, the district attorney, went down there, and they recanted back to the same story. And that was at
so
the time
thing
of this,
is that after this prosecutor went down there and threatened them, threatened witnesses,
yes.
And we know that breaks all kinds of laws. That's against U.S. code. That's against any laws. The prosecutor went down to a funeral, you know, a
yes.
very traumatic event. These people
yep.
already knew they'd never see their mother again, the one who died. They already had lost one close relative. And he showed up at a family funeral told her if she would dare to recant her testimony against Juan Roja, she would never see her children again. Is that right?
Yeah, as far as I know, yes.
Okay. So how did this information regarding the U.S. attorney's threat, how did that information reach you?
Through his, the lawyer that his court appointed a lawyer, told us that he went down there after he went down there and they, at the funeral, that was at the funeral, he said that he went down there and they recanted back to the original story.
There was still a
court appointed attorney.
So the court-appointed attorney told you that the prosecutor went down there to the funeral. So you got that information straight from your court-appointed attorney.
Yes.
Isn't that something?
Yes.
Well, how do you feel about, you know, the thing is that your son is not the only Native American who is wrongfully convicted. It's really a common practice for them to wrongfully convict Native American men in order to withdraw the children from the household. That is really quite usual and ordinary. There are a number of Native American people who are incarcerated on false offenses because they want to take the children from their households. And this has been going on for some years because I read that U.S. Congress did a study on Native Americans in the year 1972, and they found at that time that some 35% of Native American children had been removed from their families and reservations and given to Caucasians to raise, either as foster children or adopted children. So this is rather common among people in your tribe and other tribes throughout America, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
How do you feel about that? How do you feel about being a person who is whose rights are trampled in order to remove your children from your village and from your reservation? How does that make you feel?
Well, it makes me feel, as I observe it even going on to this day, that you're about to hear somebody being taken in or in custody because of being of molesting their step or somebody in their family, and it's still going on to this day. And I feel for the parents that get out of their homes and put in custody, because I know how it feels. I know how they feel in the hurt and the pain, that they don't know what's going to happen or where they go, and there's no money or there's no lawyers to help them, to help their sons. It's
an evil system, but the system provides recourse. The system provides that that any prosecutor who did what the prosecutor did in Juan's case should be brought up on charges himself. It's not legal to threaten witnesses, but we know that this is lawless America. We know that individuals do violate the law. And if they're in the justice system themselves, the justice system is very slow to investigate testimony and to bring those people who should be incarcerated up on charges. Because what this man did was absolutely illegal. It's not allowed on paper. But, you know, we had a great leader here in America. His name was Martin Luther King Jr., and he said in one of his final speeches, I think it was his final speech, he said, all we say to America is just be true to what you wrote on paper. And that is still an issue today. We have laws against prosecutors doing crooked things in order to get people convicted falsely. We have laws against that, but are those laws honored? Would you say that the justice system was fair to your brother, your son? Was the justice system fair? Did Juan Roja get a fair trial with his all-white jury, with his crooked prosecutor with his legal defense who was appointed by the state. Do you feel that he got a fair trial? Were any witnesses called on Juan Rojas' behalf? Was there any attempt to get to the truth about this woman who often, not just once, but twice before, had brought men forward to the justice system with false sex allegations before Juan? Was there anyone trying to get to the truth about why she does this? Did anyone interrogate this woman on the witness stand?
No, nobody cross-examined. And when I asked Juan's lawyer I brought up witnesses for Juan, you know, could you put these people know that the way she is, as her character is, he said she's not the one on trial, Juan is. But that would not help.
So your defense attorney refused to interrogate the witness against the accused.
Yes.
He refused to question the witness against the accused because he knows that she's mentally ill and she likely would have withdrawn her testimony right there on the stand. She probably would have tripped over what she was saying. And Juan's own defense attorney refused to question the witness against Juan. Do you see how it is? It's a situation where the defense is the prosecutor, and the prosecutor is strictly illegal, going and threatening witnesses. And all of this is why your son is in jail. There has been no molestation. There were no rapes because the girls' hymens were in place. And then they got a false witness to go and say that people's hymens grow back in place after rape all the time. This is absolutely ridiculous, but these are the charges under which your son is now incarcerated. Why, since he's not really incarcerated for raping any little girls, that's not the reason, because the girls hadn't been raped. Since that's not the reason he's incarcerated, Ms. Charlene, I have one more question for you. Why is your son in jail? He's not there for molesting little girls. Why is he really in jail? Tell me that, please.
He's in jail because this woman that made the statement if she couldn't have him, no one else was going to have him. And she went back, you know, there was a big story before all of that led up to what she did to him and how she made her daughters lie about him. There was other stuff that led up that she herself was going to get revenge back on him, and she was going to put him where he belonged in his bitch, which he had a different girl at the time. Couldn't handle it, and she was jealous. So out of spite and revengefulness, and people believed her lies and believed them, and that's why he's there now, because of what she did in her life. And
they wouldn't let Juan have Native American witnesses who knew this woman and knew her background and knew what a liar she was. They wouldn't let him have witnesses at his trial who would have testified to that, would they?
Exactly, yep. No matter what I
ask. Well,
okay.
Thank you, Ms. Charlene, for explaining this to us. I'm going to come back to you. I want to go to your brother now, Juan's uncle. Are you on the line, sir?
I know I'm not the uncle. I'm a caller with a comment.
Okay, caller with a comment. Come right ahead. And if you want to identify yourself, you can. But we're interested in hearing your comment. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, there's a huge problem that we are facing. And it is that the system itself, the prison industrial complex mixed with the political system, are not protecting, in particular, certain young males and also urban and ethnic females. And it looks as though President Obama and the other politicians are doing what they did when the last crash of the economy occurred, turning their head away. So at some point, I don't know how we're going to save ourselves. It may mean doing what Marcus Garvey suggested and leaving the country. Because for over 400 years, things have really not changed other than our cell phone, we're in trouble.
We are in trouble. But, you know, the Native Americans were here for thousands of years before the Europeans came. And you're saying that the way to save themselves may be even for Native Americans to leave the country. I mean, that is really a suggestion, that Native Americans who were born here and whose ancestors were born here and who were here for thousands of years before the Europeans came may have to leave the country in order to find justice. I tell you, that is really amazing. That is really amazing, and is not even an option for most Native Americans, because most Native Americans, even though they own this rich land full of gold, full of oil, full of natural resources, even though they own this wonderful, rich country, most of them live in poverty. Most Native Americans have had all of their rights to their land stripped away. They were marched across America on the Trail of Tears. Many others were killed in various massacres. Their food supply was destroyed, that is the buffalo, all across the country. Here and there, we see how the Native Americans' human rights were trampled, and now to suggest that the only way to find justice may be to leave their homeland and the homeland of their ancestors, that is truly a suggestion. And as ridiculous as it sounds, you might be right. There's another alternative, though, and that is that we're going to take some of these cases before the International Court, and we're preparing to do that sometime this year. And that is certainly why I keep contact with individuals I speak with, because we are going to take some of these wrongful convictions before the International Court. And maybe we can get heard fairly there, and maybe we can get justice for Juan Roja and many other people, because these kind of cases need to go before the International Court. And we certainly appreciate everyone who's listening today. If you're listening by computer, you might be cut off in a few seconds, but we ask that you prefer and listen to the entire interview. We have more people who are on the line with their comments and questions. We're going to ask you to check out the entire interview by coming to the Human Rights Demand channel at Blog Talk Radio. And this show is called Free the Innocent. Free the Innocent. And we ask you to listen to the entire tape when you do that, because you may be cut off if you're listening by computer. Okay, now we have, I'm going to tell you the phone numbers where people are waiting to speak. We have 5812-6904. Would either one of you like to speak now? Would either of you like to speak now?
Okay, Doc.
Hi, 5812.
Yes, my name's Cotton.
Hey, Cotton, how are you doing?
You know, I'm doing fine today, Mary. You know, my heart goes out to the Rojas family. You know, Mary, you know, I keep hearing in this day and time about oppression. You know, we live in a society that's filled with fear. You know, we don't even know who we can trust anymore. I'm as black and I'm as Native American, wherever my heritage comes from. My grandfather was born on the Chickasaw Reservation in Oklahoma. So I am Native American. I got blue eyes. That's why. The only thing white about me is the whites in my eyes. We come from a civilization that is based on control. We think we have to have a leader. We're we're based in a civilization that we have to have some we think that we have to have somebody up there that we can depend on, that we can trust. But anymore, they make laws while we sleep. They'll take your children. It doesn't have to be Native American children. I've got blonde-haired, blue-eyed nieces that have had their children stolen from the government. I know firsthand. I was the only boy in five generations of women. I know how women get their children stolen from CPS. I know how they manipulate the children. They take the children up into a room and they say, they get their little dolls out and they say, whoa, 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 touch this, touch that, whatever. But I tell you what, if we can't get a hold of, if America doesn't wake up and get a grip on what government is doing, Mr. Rojas was kidnapped. He's being held for ransom because the bottom line is money. And, Sonny, if you ain't got the money, you're done. I've seen the government still, in the last 10 years, they have stolen back every reservation with a casino. Now, you know, we grew up watching Western movies about Native Americans being alcoholics. You know, they're classified in a situation that they can't escape from because the American government keeps them so oppressed. You watch television, if you watch Alaska State Troopers, they fly out to Native American people's communities and they live in shacks. They pump millions of dollars worth of oil out of Mother Earth, and these poor people in these villages suffer. But you know what? They make it against the law to have a beer. It's against the law for a Native American Alaskan Inuit to drink a beer. They take them to jail. They take away their kids. They oppress them. They take away their lifestyle. You can't, you know, if a Native American could go out and hunt for his own food without, hey, you can't even go shoot a you got to have a license for everything, Mary. You have to have a license to have a dog. You have to have a license. Let me tell you something. The government doesn't have to have a license. They can come in.
Amen. The government doesn't have to have a license. Thank you so much, Cotton. I want to give Ms. Charlene another opportunity to speak. Our time is running low. But that was Mr. Cotton, and he was speaking up for the rights of Native Americans. And, you know, actually, it's human rights. Everybody should have the right to raise their own children. Everyone should have the right to make a living. Everyone should have security of person and not worry about getting a drug off to jail on false allegations. And if allegations are made against the person, it is right for authorities to investigate the allegations, but it is not right for authorities to threaten the witnesses. Okay, you said this about this man, and we see where we can make lots of money by incarcerating him for life. If you take this money back from us, if you take back your false testimony against this witness, then we are going to come after you and take your children. That is not right. And this is what is alleged to have happened in the Juan Rojas case. and his mother is on the line right now. I want to give you another opportunity to speak, Ms. Charlene, on Juan Rojas' behalf, as well as other Native Americans who are going through false arrests in order to excuse taking their children or in order to excuse taking them to prison and making prison slaves of them. You know that in federal prisons, the slaves there are used to make everything that is taken into battle except the ammunition and the weaponry. They make the uniforms, the helmets, the canteens, the tents, the boots. They make everything soldiers use except for the weaponry. So how do you feel about that? And tell us if Juan Rojas is being used as a prison slave right now.
Well, the only I've seen my and visited my son just a couple of times, but he's in there, and yes, he has to live their way of life in there, and whatever he's said at this time and that time to do this, and he's doing his best he can in there. But I also have my sister, Teresa, his aunt, and she wanted to say something also, Mary. Can she do that?
Oh, absolutely. Let's hear from, is this your sister or his sister?
Yes. My sister, and her name is Spears. Here she is.
Oh, hello, Miss Teresa. How are you today?
Oh, fine. Fine today.
Great.
Yes.
Let's hear what you have to say about Juan Rojas' matter.
Well, I was really close to Juan. He's like a son to me. And I was around those girls, and I used to babysit them. And his two little kids, and my grandkids, I should say. And when I look at everything, the way how things went and happened, you know, we live in a place where, you know, in South Dakota, a lot of, you know, like you said, prejudice going on. And you got to, the other gentleman that was talking about money, yes, you do. You know, if you don't have money, you know, money talks, they always say. But, you know, and nobody wants to try to look, be fair and try to do things the fair way. And we, you know, we're in a place where, you know, it's, you know, we live in, like, in a poverty level, it's, you know, we're poor, you know. I know that we are, and we can't afford these rich lawyers and all that. So we get appointed lawyers, and what they do, you know, they, you know, we think they're just trying to do the best to help us. But things, so I even have know that this lawyer even made a comment about where we live here, the town where he was convicted and went to court. Said, you know, that's a prejudiced place. You know, the lawyer himself said that this is a prejudiced town. You know, I heard him say that. You know, and I believe that this lawyer that represented Juan, you know, he didn't believe it. To me, he didn't believe in Juan. He didn't believe in his innocence. Or either that he didn't care because he was appointed court-appointed lawyer. Maybe if he could have afforded somebody, you know, somehow, you know, it would have probably turned out a little bit more different because other things could have been tried. And Juan wanted to speak. He told him not to. Juan wanted to take a lie detector test. He didn't, you know, want to, you know, wanted other people to get up there, you know. So it was just, you know, I know all the things he did. It wasn't in support of helping Juan. And that was just the way I felt like we were, what can we do? And you don't have the money to get somebody that's really going to go out there and work hard for you and all that. It's, you know, we always, it's like, it's a hard struggle up that hill, you know, when Native Americans get in trouble. You know, I see all these young couples and the kids, and I thought, you know, try your best to get along and behave, and, you know, because once you get in that system and everything, everything's not going to, everything's going to go downhill. It's going to be all against you. And it's a rugged web to get out of once you get going. And like that, you know, to me, they work against, you know, I go to this town that we live in up here, and I see it every day, you know, about prejudices, you know. We have to deal with that every day. You know, our kids do too. My grandkids do, you know, and I try to tell them, you know, well, life, you know, try to encourage you more and stuff, you know, to get on in this world and be a better person, to not look at, you know, the color, you know, your skin or what, you know, you're a person. And, you know, I always, you know, Juan called me several times and I talked to him and I said, we pray for you. We'll never give up. There's people out there that are praying for you. You know, even in the Indian way, they have ceremonies. You know, we have some very people that, you know, have a lot of respect and try to help him, like the people we don't even know, and I'm thankful for that. And me and my brother Fabe and him too. We, you know, we always pray every day for him, and not give up. And tell him that too. You know, if he calls, you know, visit with him. Don't give up. I tell him just keep praying. He says, yes, I know. And I tell him that I love you. I think of you every day, and you're always in my heart. We're going to get you out of there, Juan. I'll tell him that. Never give up.
Never give up. You are so right. It's wrong to give up. We're going to keep pressing for justice for Juan Roja. I want to announce to everyone that Juan Roja, that's USA versus Juan Roja Jr., and the case is 11-40241. That's 11-40241. A secret court ruling, unpublished, allows Roja's attorney to withdraw and denies Roja's motion for a new counsel. Did you hear that? In a secret court ruling that was unpublished, the court allowed Roja's attorney to withdraw, but that same secret court denied Roja's motion for a new counsel. You can look at that case and see how there's a concerted effort to keep Juan Roja from having legal defense. Also look at U.S. versus Juan Roja in federal appellate court. You can see a link to these cases in an article in my Justice Gag blog, and it is called Justice for Juan Roja, blocked at Blog Talk Radio. We were prevented from going on air on one particular Saturday, and that was the first Saturday in February, February 1st. We had an appointment to talk to this family about their relative's wrongful conviction, and because they know all the crimes that they did in order to put this man behind bars for life, they know the crimes. And so there was a DDoS block on us going on the radio on February 1st. And I wrote about that in an article in my Justice Gag blog. I ask you all to read it. It's called Justice for Juan Roja, blocked at Blog Talk Radio. Today, I had to call 6 or 7 times before I was allowed to come on air. So this is a very covered-up case. And as I said, his attorney was allowed to withdraw from his defense in a secret court in America. And he also was denied his motion for a new attorney. So attorneys, we ask you to please contact this family and offer assistance for Juan Roja. He is wrongfully convicted. And the email address for his cousin, Janice Howe, is mzjadrian@gmail.com. Please offer your assistance for this wrongfully convicted Native American who should not have to be incarcerated for life because his girlfriend wanted revenge. His girlfriend wanted revenge. He should not be in that position, and we ask you to please help. This is the end of our show today. We ask the supporter, Juan Roja, to feel free to come back any Saturday, and you too. God bless you.